Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rockin' Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, why is Dan Quinn still employed? And Richard Sherman has a message for anyone who doubted the 49ers coming into the season. They are now 5-0 after an impressive victory over the Rams. Plus, a really cool snippet, soundbite from history on this date. You'll love this. If you're a baseball fan, October 13th, 1971 is a date to remember. We'll play for you classic television audio from that moment coming up in soundcheck. The NFL weekend number 6 coming to a close tonight. Packers and Lions to wrap it up. But one of the biggest stories, the Chiefs. Because after looking like an equal to the New England Patriots, looking like they were on a collision course for Patriots-Chiefs AFC title game again, the Chiefs have lost back-to-back games. They got bullied by the Colts last Sunday night. And then yesterday, beaten at home at Arrowhead, another loss at home, this time to the Houston Texans. I talked about this last week on the show, and I absolutely believe it. I think Deshaun Watson has a chance, when all is said and done, his career is over, to have had one of the great careers for a quarterback of this generation of guys. Deshaun Watson has everything I want in a quarterback. Everything. Doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean he's a finished product yet. But he's got everything I want leading my football team into battle on Saturdays and Sundays. And I kind of think that Deshaun Watson right now is camouflaging his head coach. I think they might be winning in spite of Bill O'Brien, but that's how good Deshaun Watson is. And Deshaun Watson has this Texans team at 4-2 and leading the division by half a game over the Colts. That's a nice win by the Texans in one of the most difficult places to play in the league. And he made plays when it mattered and brought them back from an early deficit. And Deshaun Watson's just such the real deal. But we've got to talk about the Chiefs. And we've got to talk about Patrick Mahomes. And we've got to talk about how Mahomes isn't right. And that Chiefs team looks a long way from being the equal to the Patriots.
Second and goal at the one. Deshaun calls for the ball. Here's the snap. Watson fakes the give. Steps out to his left. Watson wants to run, and he dives for the goal line. He's in! Deshaun Watson twisting his way into the end zone to grab the lead for Houston.
I felt like my ankle was affecting the team and the success of the offense. I would for sure move on. But at the same time, I feel like I'm still moving around. I'm still able to run, scramble, throw. And, I mean, we haven't executed a high enough success rate as offense.
That is Mark Vandermeer, rock and roll on Texans radio. And that, of course, is squeaky Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is not right. And you saw what Mahomes could do before he re-injured it, seemed like that ankle, when he was thrown to the turf and bounced his head off of the turf.
his day was different before and after that play. That play was a line of demarcation yesterday in the Chiefs' day. Before that injury, or before that play, he had thrown for 189 yards and two touchdowns. That was through about the first quarter and a half. After that, 84 yards, less than half what he did in the first 20 minutes, a touchdown and the INT, and that's when the Texans came back. The Chiefs need to seriously consider sitting Patrick Mahomes for a week or 2 weeks and making sure he's right. Because in that division, look, the Broncos ain't catching you. The Chargers are terrible. And you are still, in my mind, light years better than the Raiders. I think last night, yesterday, at Arrowhead, might have been for the two seed. I mean, honestly, if it comes down to the Texans and the Chiefs, and both those teams have 11 wins, 12 wins, that tiebreaker is going to go to the Texans right now. They need to seriously consider that. And the Chiefs also are not running the football nearly as effectively as they were last year. And their defense was bad last year and looks to be bad again this year. Mahomes wasn't perfect, but we know that Mahomes healthy does things nobody else can do. I think that ankle is really hindering him and that the Chiefs need to seriously consider shutting him down for a couple of weeks. Because you just need him at Patrick Mahomes in December and January. You don't need him in October to be Patrick Mahomes. Not in that division, luckily. Also, the Chiefs have the unfortunate reality of playing a real schedule, unlike the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots are right now playing one of the biggest jokes in NFL history's schedule. This is remarkable. And again, always seems to break the Pats' way. But their first month and a half, look at this schedule to put them at 6-0. Steelers, granted, with Roethlisberger, but the Steelers have been awful. Dolphins, Jets without Sam Darnold, Bills, second half without Josh Allen, Washington, and the Giants. The rest of their schedule is going to be at the Jets, get one win on the season, Browns, sub-500 mess, the Ravens, they finally get somebody real. That means they're probably going to be 8-0 before they even play a team with a winning record at this point in time. Then they're at the Eagles, home to the Cowboys. Both those teams are 500 right now. Then finally at the Texans and home to the Chiefs. They wrap up with Bengals, Bills, Dolphins. I mean, seriously. They might play three games this season against teams with winning records. Three! They might end up playing three games against teams with winning records out of 16. The Patriots might end up in the playoffs at 14-2, 15-1, and we might have no idea actually if they're very good. I mean, we know the brand, we know the coach, we know the quarterback. We know the defense seems pretty good. We know they're defending Super Bowl champions. But this year, they might not have a tough game. Is at Houston a tough game? Let's ask that question. Right now, is at Houston a tough game for the Patriots?
I still think no. I'm sorry, I'm just not a believer. I still think no.
Is home to the Chiefs a tough game?
Yes.
Is home to the Bills a tough game?
No.
Is at Baltimore a tough game?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Is at Philly a tough game?
It's hard for me to even say that right now.
Is home to the Cowboys a tough game?
No.
So we're talking about 2.5 tough games. On the entire 16-game schedule, and maybe at Buffalo is a tough game, although again, you know, Buffalo would have had to really play their absolute best game in that situation.
Well, remember, if they don't torpedo Josh Allen, they have a chance without Barkley late to go down the field, too.
So in a 16-game schedule, the Patriots will play 3.5 tough games. 16 weeks, 3.5 tough. I'm not even talking about losing games or will lose games. Tough games.
But honestly, look at the AFC playoff picture right now.
And that's the other thing.
Like, they may not play a tough game in the playoffs.
Who's the second best team of the AFC? I mean, in the NFC, look at the hit list of what you've got to get through even to make the playoffs in the NFC. Even the NFC West has 3 playoff teams in it. 3. The Niners, the Rams, and the Seahawks are all clearly playoff caliber teams. Same thing with the NFC North. Could have 4 playoff caliber teams in one division. That's 2 division, 7 caliber playoff caliber teams. Who's the second best team in the AFC? Who is it? Is it the Chiefs? Maybe. Is it the Texans? Maybe.
The Bills?
The Bills or the Ravens? I mean, this is a murderer's row of dog food.
The Colts with Jacoby Brissett?
You can't say that yet. You can't. I love Frank Reich. He that can't be the second best
team. They won at Kansas City too, though.
Which probably means that the Chiefs aren't the second best team of the AFC, which probably means Bill O'Brien coaches the second best team of the AFC, which again, everything comes up Patriots roses. They're going to play 3 competitive games this year, and the second best team of the conference is coached by Butchin. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Get them out. Get them all out. And to think that team had the gall to bring in Antonio Brown as if they needed that extra star power at the time.
It is criminal. It's criminal how this has happened. It is criminal. The AFC, again, question marks all over the place. All over. All over the place. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news as always. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Charles is next up. He's in Alabama, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, man. Hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. How you doing?
Man, I ain't doing too good, man. I can't take Jason Garrett no more, man. I don't have enough. It's over, man. 10 years of the same thing over and over and over, and people saying, well, the guys need to play out there on the field. Your team is a reflection of you. It's that simple. Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tackles, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tackles, I don't love you no more. This is the mentality he need to have. All this campfire stuff, I tell you one thing he is consistent of, clapping and spitting. You showing up need to get out the way of that because I don't have enough of it. I don't have enough of it. The Dallas Cowboy fans have put up with mediocrity for 20-something years. It is time to move on from Jason Garrett. I'm pretty sure he is a good guy, good family man, good friend, but he's not a good coach. Jerry Jones is not going to be able to hold on to him. Sorry, Jerry, it ain't going to happen. You need to let him go right now and promote Richardson, or either Kellen Moore, the head coach, and let's move on. Because you're not winning Sunday night. I just want to tell Jerry Jones right now on the radio, let me explain something to you, Jerry. You ain't winning Sunday night. This over. You got to make a move. Now I want to hear what you got to say about that.
Great phone call, Charles.
The Cowboys got their ass beat.
Absolutely great phone call. Number one. I love Charles because everything he said is absolutely right. The Cowboys will never win anything of significance with Jason Garrett at head coach. Absolutely will not. And these last 3 weeks have proven that. The moment they have played good competition, they have melted down. Melted down! Also, Jason Garrett. Good family guy, I'm sure. Nice dinner guest. Not a good head coach. What more do you need to see after 10 years of total mediocrity? What more do you need to see? And yesterday, when Jason Garrett is there on the sideline trying to pump his guys up by high-fiving them as they come off the field, they wanted nothing to do with him. Nothing. They walked right past him like he was a ghost. He doesn't have the respect inside that locker room. He does not. He does not. And the seat should be red hot on Jason Garrett, because the Cowboys have far more talent now than they ever have under Jason Garrett, and he's still a 500 coach.
Clap on, clap off the clapper.
The other part I love about Charles's phone call is that he was citing that Jimmy Johnson quote, if you can't tackle for me, or if you can make tackles, I like if you can't make tackles. And it sounded like he said, if you can't make tacos, if you can make tacos, and I am here for anybody that makes tacos, I'm here for people that make tacos. I like you too. If you can't make tacos, get them out. If you can make tacos, hire them. Keep them around.
If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you.
That's another previous amazing quote, an amazing phone call from Charles in Alabama. When we come back here on the show, why is Dan Quinn still employed? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Right on to tie the game. The ball is down. The kick is up. And he missed it. He missed it wide to the left. Oh, my goodness. Bryant ripped his helmet off. He can't believe it as he walks dejected back to the Falcon sideline. Arizona 34, Atlanta 33 with a minute 53 to go.
I would say they're just not there yet. Now they have two more games until the bye, two more home games. You know, I would say that is probably the, not target date, but that's probably the most likely situation where you say we're going to evaluate after the bye. And then I would wonder about Thomas Dimitroff as well. I mean, they lost Scott Pioli, not his own decision, but they lost Scott Pioli early in the year. Those two are tied to the hip. I'd be very curious to see what situation or what decision they make for Thomas Dimitroff as well.
Oh, Falcons. Oh, you gutless band of birds. 24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. That was Dave Pasch, Cardinals Radio, on the call. And that was Ian Rappaport after that next mess from the Atlanta Falcons, who joined us last hour here on the show. Hey, remember that the DA Show, you can watch on any device, anywhere. Watch at watchda.com, available on your phone, on your tablet, on your smart TV. Big screen it. The DA Show. Right now, Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, pulling levers, pressing buttons, making things look so crisp. Check it out.
Electronically ignorant.
Now that's outrageous.
Matt Ryan, the Atlanta Falcons. What have Atlanta fans, sports fans in the Atlanta area, what have they done to deserve this? Since leading the Patriots 28-3 in the Super Bowl, the Falcons have been in a steady decline. They led a Super Bowl by 25 points late third quarter, 2 minutes to play in the third. Virtually impossible to lose that. Since then, they've gotten worse and worse and worse every year. The Atlanta Falcons might not even be the worst sports moment of the week in Atlanta, despite dropping a 1-5 and losing to the Cardinals. Because, of course, the Braves gave up 10 runs. 10! Before they got an at-bat in their deciding game number 5 of the NLDS this past week. 10 runs. It was 10-0. Midway through the first. 10-0. Oh, but that might not be even the worst moment of the weekend, as the Georgia Bulldogs lost at home to Will Muschamp and South Carolina. Not even the worst loss in football in that region in the weekend. But let's talk Falcons here. Dan Quinn should not have even gotten on the team bus and gone to the airport. Dan Quinn should have walked out of that giant tin mushroom in the desert, looked at the sunset in the middle of the Arizona landscape, and started walking towards it. He should have said, guys, I'm good. You get on the bus, go back to Atlanta without me. You'll be better off. Dan Quinn should have just started walking into the desert sunset, thrown all of his cares, his aspirations, and his hopes out the window, became a hobo, and never came back to coaching again. Because there is no discernible way you can defend Dan Quinn right now. Dan Quinn is a defensive coordinator. Dan Quinn organizes the Falcons' defense. And Dan Quinn's defense has given up a minimum of 20 points every game. And here are the totals in the five losses. 28, 27, 24, 34, and 53. Guys, do you realize that Marcus Mariota just lost his job to Ryan Tannehill, and he put up 24 points against the Falcons defense? You realize that's a fireable offense right there, that you allowed Marcus Mariota to score three touchdowns. Dan Quinn, there is no excuse anymore. There is no rationale. There is no reasoning. He cannot be the head coach. And the only reason that you would still have him employed is because you are respecting the fact that he took you to a Super Bowl. That's the only way. That's the only way. Because everything else points to this is flat out dumpster fire. They're 1-5. They've lost four straight. They've lost to the Titans. They've lost to the Cardinals. This is just a never-ending mess. Every week, the Falcons have the week that they have to turn it around, and every week they get worse. How? Why is Dan Quinn still employed? How? Why is Dan Quinn still employed? Become a carny. Just become a travel. See the world. Disassemble and reassemble the salt and pepper shaker thing that goes up and down. Be the tilt-a-whirl guy. This is not for you, Dan. Coaching in the NFL is not for you. Okay? It's just not working out. It's not you, it's us. Okay? You need to just follow your heart, see the world, do the tilt-a-whirl, pull tickets, rip them in half, disassemble, then move on. Okay? That's what we need out of you right now. Vinny's in Arizona listening to 94.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, DA. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's going on?
So this might be a silly question, but you were just talking about how the Atlanta Falcons have fallen apart after leading 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Saints fan, but I also hate the Patriots, so that's kind of bittersweet for me. So with Tom Brady doing what he did to the Falcons, is that equivalent to what Albert Pujols did to Brad Lidge in the postseason and just completely ruined him?
I can't really blame Matt Ryan yesterday for the loss. I don't know, though, if that organization has ever emotionally recovered. I don't think it has. It feels a lot like the Seattle Seahawks after losing that Super Bowl. All of those guys inside that locker room basically could never recover, and almost all of them are gone except for Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson. I think Dan Quinn, Matt Ryan, and the rest of that team, yes, kind of never recovered emotionally. And they just seem, it builds every year and now builds every week. And the season after that collapse, they could say, well, we're going to run it back, and this time we'll finish. And they got to the playoffs, but bowed out in the second round. And then the next year is, okay, well, you know what? We've got a year now distance from the Super Bowl. We're ready to go. And now we'll run it back. And they were 7-9. And now it was, okay, we got two good years away from it. We're going to load it up again. We've changed the coach and the coordinator. We've changed the offensive coordinator, the play caller again. Now they start at 1-5. And they just keep burying themselves week after week. You know who you need as a head coach in Atlanta? I don't know the name, but a guy that would make tacos. Because frankly, that's the guy that we could all get behind.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
I feel the same exact way. I say this to my wife all the time. If you're making tacos, honey, I love you. But as soon as you're not making tacos, I'm out of here.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
And Mraz, Jimmy Johnson, huge taco guy.
Yeah, but do you think that they settle for ground chicken or it has to be ground beef?
I think any tacos are good tacos.
So I would agree. Shrimp taco works there.
Shredded chicken. Even a carnitas.
You were mentioning carnies before. Carne asada.
That's right. Dan Quinn's carne asada.
I don't love you no more.
Dan Quinn, if you could figure out how to make tacos, we will keep you employed within the Falcons organization.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more. Dan Quinn, you stop making tacos, I don't love you no more.
Well, now I need to get tacos tonight.
Marcus Mariota, you stop making tacos. We don't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
It seems very reasonable.
It really does.
I mean, nice and sweet, and everybody loves tacos.
Freddy Kitchens, last year you made tacos. This year, you don't make them no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Kyle Shanahan, this year, you making good tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
I don't know what happened to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense. They not making tacos no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Adam Gase can't make no tacos. Suddenly Sam Darnold's healthy. He making tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
Vic Fangio don't know where the tacos are made. Suddenly, last 2 weeks, he making tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
Kirk Cousins, nice guy, no tacos. Wakes up one day, starts making tacos.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Former teammate Zach Brown said he don't make tacos. Kirk Cousins reads it, starts making them tacos.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more. Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you making tacos, I love you.
So stupid.
Now, are we all going to get tacos after the show tonight?
We have to. Oh, no.
Yeah. This is the burger corollary. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. Richard Sherman has a message for the haters of the Niners. Baker Mayfield calling out the refs. And you baseball history buffs, October 13th, 1971. We've got audio of that night from the television broadcast, and it's awesome next. It's part of Soundcheck. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me, as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
44 minutes past the hour, the DA show here on CBS Sports Radio. Back from my trip to Clemson, South Carolina to go see Clemson Tigers football. CLEMSONTIGERS. 44 minutes past the hour, and a brand new episode of Nomad coming out this week of my trip to Clemson. And I just want to thank everybody at 105.5 The Roar, our affiliate in Clemson. They've carried the DA show for a long time, and they are so awesome. And they housed me for Sunday morning football yesterday. Tremendous. They are one of the great stories for CBS Sports Radio, because 10 years ago, they were just a little old radio station, didn't have much cooking. And with the growth of Clemson football under Dabo and winning two national championships over the last 3 years and taking CBS Sports Radio, they have boomed. And they are an amazing success story. It is so cool to see their success. And it's so cool that they've always been fans of the DA show. And going down to Clemson, I was approached by so many great people that had listened to the show, introduced themselves, that it was really, really awesome. And I'm going to document all of that as part of my travel series, Nomad, which is available on YouTube. I'll let you know when that episode drops this week. But I got gifts for you guys from some of our listeners down there. They wanted to hook you guys up. They said, tell Mraz and Pete the Body and Andrew Bogus that we really thank them for entertaining us every day and for a long time. So maybe tomorrow I'll bestow some of the gifts for you guys that I brought back.
I like gifts.
I know.
I love gifts.
Love presents, yes.
You like gifts and gifts.
No, it's a... No, gifts... No, that they're not, there's no such thing as a gif. It's a gif.
You like gifts and gifs.
Yeah, I do. I like both. I think both bring some pleasant nature to life and society.
People are so wonderful down there. So friendly. So cool. The only bad part of the weekend was that Florida State decided not to show up, but we kind of knew that was going to happen anyway. Aaron tweets, I'll definitely be getting tacos tonight. Thanks, DA show. Falco tweets, thanks, DA. Now I have to make tacos for supper tonight. I have to. Hashtag, how could it happen?
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you.
Black Rose tweets, listen, I love, love, love your damn show. Always off the Richter scale, but now I want tacos for lunch. Thanks, DA.
I love you.
You need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Yeah, well, join the club. It is time for your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Baker Mayfield of the Cleveland Browns allow a 20-6 lead to dissipate, and the Seahawks come into Cleveland and get the comeback victory. Baker Mayfield after the game, unhappy with the officials.
The refs are never an excuse, and I'll probably get fined for saying this, but it's pretty bad today. I mean, the guy's squared up with him, running at him. He's lowering his head into Jarvis. What's he supposed to do? Avoid him? I mean, this isn't bullfighting. I mean, I don't know. It takes me off.
You know, Baker's not wrong. The officiating yesterday in that Cleveland game was bad. Routinely bad. And Browns fans have every reason to be frustrated with what the officials called yesterday, what they didn't call, the flow of the game because of the officials. I mean, they were in the pocket the entire day. However, the Browns have so much blame to put on themselves. So much. And let's just start with Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens proves every week how in over his head he is. His goal line play calling yesterday, crucial possession, was so horrendously bad. During multiple stoppages, needing timeouts, needing more time, needing more everything, Kitchens is in over his head. And I have seen the dreaded comparison on social media to Jim Tom Sula, whose claim to fame was, did he or did he not fart in a press conference? When you are being compared to a guy where that's the lead line in his Wikipedia page, you've got real issues. And I always said, this is too much too soon for Freddie Kitchens. It's, I mean, you know, when you're talking Tom Sula, it's a bad situation.
That is the best press conference moment of all time. Everybody wants to play the drops of, you know, playoffs. No, no, no. It's Tom Sula's fart is the best press conference moment of all time.
Everybody play naked. Spot ass naked.
We didn't know if it was a squeaky chair, maybe. The Niners seemed to think that it was just a squeaky chair.
No, but Tom Sula gave it away because he had the same face we all have in that moment. Did anybody hear this?
So, this is the type of coach that the Browns decided to promote, and it would be fine if Freddie Kitchens was still the play caller. Last year seemed to work, but there's just too much else that goes on with being a head coach of an organization with massive expectations, big-time personalities, temperamental guys like Odell, like Baker Mayfield, in a city that's absolutely mad about football, on a team that we're always watching with a microscope. He was just the wrong pick, and John Dorsey needs to wear that. And if it was because he had a good relationship with Baker Mayfield, it was not a good enough reason. The Browns needed a veteran presence in there to stabilize what was going to be a place they had not been to in 30 years. Expectations, winning playoff games, winning the division. And they brought in a guy that was not ready for what he was about to encounter, and we're watching that. Now, look, Baker has not been good. The defense has given up chunk plays when it's mattered. Russell Wilson yesterday comes roaring back down 20-6, and you just knew if the Seahawks touched the football last, they were going to go down the field and score. You just knew it. So this is not just on Freddie, but Freddie consistently is showing why he's in over his head. And for Baker Mayfield, I mean, I know that you're upset at the officials, but gosh, you really got to look in the mirror. Richard Sherman, always one of the best winners in the NFL.
You don't worry about it. You want idiots to sound like idiots, but you want them to hold their position the whole year. Like, don't flip flop with us. Like if you said we weren't going to make it, you said we were some way early on, just stick with that position. Hold it. Don't try to give us credit now. Don't try to give us credit now. Just stick. If you had us ranked 25, keep us ranked 25. If you had us going home early, if you had us going 3-3 and whatever, have us going 3-3 whatever. You know what I mean? At least stick by your word, because I want you to sound like an idiot at the end.
So, I mean, look, that's just like the dumbest argument ever. I mean, like your opinion's not allowed to change based on what the evidence brings in. Like you're just supposed to have a dead set opinion on everything all the time, and you're not allowed to break from that opinion, especially if you're trying to predict what would happen. You're not allowed to then change despite evidence and information coming in. Okay, yeah, maybe people had the Niners ranked really low coming into the season, and maybe the Niners used that as motivation. But once you're 5-0, you're not allowed to say, I don't think the Niners will be 3-13 anymore. You're supposed to say, I know they already have 5 wins, but I think the NFL is going to revoke 2 of those wins and that they're going to lose out. I mean, you know, you're allowed to reassess in life. I know that bothers Richard Sherman here, but, you know, that is kind of part of the equation, which he should know having gone to Stanford. You know, that's kind of the scientific process. Finally, yesterday in 1971, October 13th, 1971, is an all-important date for all of us, especially baseball fans. It was the first night World Series game ever. Yesterday, 48 years ago, before that, only afternoon World Series baseball. Here's how it sounded on NBC.
This is the Golden Triangle of Pittsburgh, and there's a light on tonight to celebrate the first night game in the history of the World Series. Here on the banks of the Monongahela, the Alleghenies, they join to form the Ohio River. And you're moving now into one of the most beautiful new parks in baseball, Three River Stadium. And for our first night game, we have a beautiful night. 72 degrees here. It's warm enough to, well, you don't need a sweater or top coat tonight. Not much wind. And you know, it seemed odd today to be standing around a hotel lobby in the afternoon waiting for the World Series at night. We've had 397 World Series games played before this one, all in the daytime. And here we are.
And the strike is there. They will now stop this game and give this ball to the Commissioner of Baseball, Bowie Kuhn. And that later will be then enshrined in the Hall of Fame. The Commissioner of Baseball now receiving
that baseball, and that'll be enshrined in the Hall of Fame where Ken Smith presides.
That was Kurt Gowdy on NBC Sports leading into that clip. I mean, it's amazing that nighttime baseball in the World Series was basically treated like it was walking on the moon at that point in time. We had to take the baseball out and get it to Cooperstown immediately. My God, a nighttime World Series game. Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau. Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern time, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. That clip from yesterday, this date, 1971. Before that, you had to watch the World Series during the day, kids.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.